Abundant Life Ministries, where lives are changing. Our pastor, Zinzalay R. Legend, brings you this message. Follow her on Twitter at MyPastorLegend and like Abundant Life Ministries, WLAC, on Facebook. Be blessed.
Give God glory and praise today. Before we do anything else, before anything else is said and done, He's worthy of the praise and worthy of the honor and the glory. Let us go ahead and stand up and give God praise and glory because He inhabits the praises of His people. God, you're awesome. God, you're wonderful. How great is our God? How wonderful is our God? Oh, Lord, we love you. Oh, Lord, we bless your name. Hallelujah. We give you the highest praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise for all that you've done for us, for all that you continue to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. God, you're excellent. God, you're holy. God, you're mighty. God, you're wonderful. Hallelujah. 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 If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, all of my enemies would have swallowed me alive. Huh? But great is His faithfulness towards us. Even when we're unfaithful and we're unjust, He is higher than us. His ways are higher than us. His thoughts are higher than us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And He remains faithful. And so with everything within us, with everything that we are, we just pray and seek to be faithful to a faithful, loving God. The Word of God says that His kindness leads us to repentance. Not His hitting us over the head, but His kindness leads us to repentance. And if we really stop and think and recognize how kind the Lord has been to us today and all of our days, we would understand and all of the things, all of the mess, all of the concerns of the world, all of the circumstances would fall off of us. And we'd look at Him, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, now that we've given God His awesome and high praise, I just want to thank God for all of you being here today. And you guys bring your worship. Praise God for Him bringing you here today. You could have been anywhere else. There are a lot of people, there are accidents that happen in the rain, but thank the Lord you guys made it safely. Huh? I thank God for all of the guests that are in the house today. God bless you, and I believe, God, that He has a word for us collectively. Me too. And I want to praise God for my leader, my pastor. You're so wonderful. You always have a timely word that gives me such confidence in the Lord. And you're like, and sometimes we need people to see us. We need an objective point of view because in our head, we're always talking about what we're doing wrong. It's like when you look in the mirror and the first thing you see is a pimple or something wrong, right? But sometimes you need someone to look in your face and say, you know what? You're beautiful. Ignoring all the pimples and stuff like that, but seeing the real true essence of you. And so I praise God because you are that for me. And Rev Mommy, I thank you so much for you because you're so patient, you're so humble, you're so kind, and it is a wonderful thing to serve with you and to learn from you. I learned a lot from you with you just being who you are. Yes. And once again, I thank the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Hey, I thank God. I thank Father God. I thank the Holy Spirit. He is wonderful. He is a wonder to behold. Pray with me now. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. You are welcome not just in a certain small area of this place, Lord God, but we ask that you be magnified in this place on today in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we seek a word from you. I say we. I don't exclude myself from the group that needs a word from you today. So I ask, Lord God, that you speak, that you move, that you preach, Lord God, that the Spirit of the living God and the anointing is upon every word that changes lives in the name of Jesus. We don't want to be the same. We don't want to hear pretty words. We don't want to just hear a nice little anecdote, a nice little story. But we seek to be changed in your name, in the name of Jesus. And we know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is peace, and there is freedom, and there is joy, a fullness of joy. And we know that you are here. We turn our faces to you and recognize you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, ye ancient doors, that the King of glory shall come in. Let me say that again. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. be lifted up, you everlasting doors, that the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, mighty in battle. Sadly, many of us reinterpret this scripture in this time and day with, look to the sides, O you gates, and lift yourselves up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come at your beck and call. Who is the King of glory? The Lord that does my bidding. Who is the King of glory? The Lord that does things my way. Who is the King of glory? The Lord that makes me comfortable. Who is the King of glory? The Lord I talk to only when I'm in trouble. Who is the King of glory? The Lord I forget about unless my back is to the wall. Who is the King of glory? The guy who is going to judge me and thinks everything is wrong with me. We have a skewed perspective on who the King of glory actually is. Huh. But, you know, we pigeonhole him in this box based on our finite understanding when he is so much further and so much more vast than what we can even begin to comprehend. And we wonder what's going on when he doesn't recite the lines that we have promptly given him. The Lord is high above the heavens. Huh? The Lord is high above the heavens. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And so, yes, he calls us friend, and he died for us, and he is our Savior. But we must never, ever forget that he is the Lord. Today, our theme is ushering in the King of glory. Ushering in the King of glory. Y'all gonna help me preach it? All right, then. So we're taking his tracks to the mall, right? That's our theme for the year? Taking his tracks to the, no? Okay. Well, is it taking little green Bibles and pelting people with it? No? No? We're taking his word to the world, right? And taking his word to the world isn't limited to passing out tracks. And granted, if that works and the anointing falls on some people who do that, praise the Lord. Granting, if people go out and street witness and people feel the Spirit, yes, that's awesome. But we aren't to limit how we take his word to the world. And we cannot take his word to the world without him. Does that make sense? Like, we kind of need him to take his word to the places that will receive it and the places that will take it. We need him to be the roadmap and to be the driver. So we're going to do it, and not begrudgingly. And today we're going to be in 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, it's written by Ezra. Him and Nehemiah were boys. Ezra was a minor prophet. He wrote a book. And so he writes a lot about the genealogies of Israel and also the king's lineage. And so he starts off with Saul, and it's really pretty short about Saul. He just says, Saul didn't heed the word of the Lord, and he died in his transgressions and consulted a medium. So the Lord turned the kingdom over to David. And so that's where we're going to pick up today. Amen? All righty. So, you know, see, Saul had the appearance of a king. He looked strong, and he always made these offerings in front of people. You know what I'm saying? He went in front of people, and he was like, oh, I'm going to take all this land, but I'm going to do what I want to do. And that's not what God was looking for. He is looking for a people that will want to co-labor with him and consult him about things. Amen? So God was like, I'm done with that. And he talked to Samuel, and he was like, look for the one that I want you to anoint. And he went to the house of Jesse, right? Samuel went to the house of Jesse, and that's the information he got. And Jesse didn't even invite David in. He invited all his brothers in. David was out in the field somewhere. Samuel's up to him like, is this the one? No. Is this the one? No. Do you have any more sons? Come on, Jesse. And he was like, oh, yeah, I got that other one outside. And so ruddy David, forgotten about David, little David, the youngest of all the fathers, all of the sons, he was the one who was chosen king. And how many of you know that it doesn't matter who on earth overlooks you, if God looks at you, if God looks upon you and favors you for a season and for a time, then that's what you're going to go up into. Hallelujah. He doesn't call the equipped, but he equips the called. Amen? All right, so we're in 1 Chronicles chapter 13. I'm going to be telling the story today. And you may follow along. What we did was we cross-referenced it with 2 Samuel 6. So this, you know, it's in the Bible twice. So let's go ahead and get into it. David had just become king. So there was a whole lot leading up to him becoming king that we don't have time to talk about now. He had just become king, and he gathered all of Israel, and he said, let's bring the Ark of the Covenant to us, because in the days of Saul, it was neglected. It wasn't even thought about. How difficult must it be where you're a king in the name of the Lord, and you're not even thinking about the presence of God and where God is? But David was a man after God's own heart, and he said, let's go ahead and bring the presence of God back to us, right? And so the people thought it was a good idea. They were like, the presence of God. And so it was somewhere in Judah. And so it was in the home of Abinadab. And Abinadab had two sons. It was Ahio and Uzzah, right? And so Abinadab, this is important, and put a pin in it. This is important. He was of the tribe of Judah. And so they went down over to Abinadab's house. And they were like, okay, we're going to bring in the presence of the Lord. We're going to bring it in. Let's see what we can do. Let's build a new cart. Okay, good, new cart. And then we're going to just like put it on top of the cart. All of Israel, right? Put it on top of the cart. And then you're going to walk in front. You're going to walk in back. And we're just going to walk and praise with all our might. We're going to praise because they were the tribe of Judah. And so Judah means praise. We're going to praise with all our heart. Praise with all our mind. And we're going to take it back to the city of David, right? So they're like, okay, cool, good plan. They went and put it on this cart. Mind you, no one thought to consult God on how he wanted his presence to be brought into the city of David. Put a pin in that. So Judah means praise, right? They had the harps. They had the ancient guitars. They had the cymbals. They were praising the Lord. They had the tambourines. They were praising the Lord. The highest praise you've ever done times 100. They were praising the Lord. It was going down, all the way down, right? And so the cart is moving because, you know, Abinadab kind of lived on a hill. And so the cart was moving, and I'm sure there were a lot of shaky times. And they were like, okay, we're praising the Lord. And Uzzah is guiding the cart, and Ahio is guiding the cart as well. They're guiding the cart, rather. And so they're looking at it. They're like, okay. And they got to a place, and the cart looked like it was going to fall off. The ark looked like it was going to fall off of the cart, right? And Uzzah was like, oh, no, it's going to fall off of the cart. And so, mind you, highest praise. They're in the high praise right there. And he's like, no. And then he reached out to grab it and fell down dead right there. So imagine how quickly all that high praise must have just, right? Think about it. We sing the, hey, Jesus, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, whoa. Think about that if someone just fell down dead in here. God forbid. And so David was angry. He was like, how am I going to bring the presence of God back into my city? You killing people, God. But he was terrified at the same time, right? So he really couldn't open up his mouth and say nothing because he was God. And the fear of the Lord, the terror of the Lord just gripped David. And he was like, okay, we're going to put it over here. Obed-Edom's house. Boom. Let's just leave it right there. And they went back, and he had like 3 months over at Obed-Edom's house. And Obed-Edom, he was getting blessed, and I'm certain it was because they just found out that somebody done died trying to hold the ark. So they weren't anywhere around it. Like, God, you're awesome. We reverence you, Lord. You can be in that part of the room. We worship you. But God blessed Obed-Edom, his whole household, and everything that he had. Now, here's the thing. If God wanted to jump up off that cart, Uzzah should have let him jump up off that cart. We do not control the presence of God. We do not control the movement of God. If he wants to do something, you let him do it. And the act was irreverent because, check this out, remember, the ark was at Abinadab's house. Who else lived at Abinadab's house? Uzzah. So he'd been around the ark the whole time, his whole life, or a good part of it anyway, from what we can infer. And so when you get too familiar with God, familiarity breeds contempt. That means that if I'm too close to you, Rev Tamara, I start to lose a little bit of respect for you. And so he was close to Uzzah. He was close to the ark. Uzzah was close to the ark, and so he done forgot how great and mighty his God was. He done forgot a little bit of something about who created the God of the universe. God wasn't limited to that box. No. So everything came to a screeching halt, and they went ahead and just left it at Obed-Edom's house. And David had to fight some other battles. And so, you know, right then when he fought those battles, he inquired of the Lord. And he was like, Lord, what should I do right here? You know, and the Lord was like, yeah, go ahead. I'll give it into your hands. He had to fight against the Philistines. And the important thing to get is with that is that a lot of times we run to the Lord when we have a problem, when our life is at stake. But when it seems like it's all good and it's something that we can handle, we forget to turn to him. But he wants to be a part of our daily lives. He wants to be a part of what you're doing and what you got going. He wants us to consult him. You remember Saul done died because he didn't get consulted. He didn't consult. He went to a psychic before he went to God. And he had a direct line to God. You know what I'm saying? So this happened, and David sought God a whole lot more than Saul did, but God was making a point here, like, seek me for everything. I want to be involved with you. And so he went ahead and did that, and he sought the Lord, and he was in a posture to seek him. And so because he was in a posture to seek him, he got the revelation that, wait a minute, I didn't ask him anything about how to bring this ark up into the city of David. So after that happened, he made a place for the Ark of the Covenant. Pause. He didn't even make a place for God. So the first time he went out, he didn't have a place for God. Far be it from us to welcome the presence of God into our lives and our houses and into our places and not have an actual place for him to be. Lord, I need your presence, but you don't have any time in my day. Lord, I need your presence, but I don't think I could learn about you right now. Lord, I need your presence, but only when it feels good, only when it's Sunday, only when it's this time, only when I need a word right now so I can get some more money. X, Y, and Z. Far be it from us. Far be it from us to only ask for his presence without actually making a space. So it was a situation where it was like, I could give it to you, but what you gonna do with it? So he said, you know, he asked God, and he was like, here's the space. He pitched a tent. Like, here's the space that we're going to put for God. And then he was like, you know what? The wrong people were carrying the ark. Remember, Abinadab was of the tribe of Judah, right? And that means praise. Well, the people who always carried the ark were the Levites. They always ministered before the ark. They carried the ark. This is how God set it up in the first place. And so it was more so a matter of it's the wrong people doing the wrong thing. Right? And so you know, he says, you know, no one but the Levites can carry the ark because God chose them to carry the ark and minister before it forever. And so it's like this. Just because I can do it doesn't mean I'm supposed to do it. Doesn't mean that I'm called to do it. You know what I'm saying? I could do
a nice little twirl up here and just like this and all that.
There was, you know, I can do all of that. I'm not called to dance. I'm not called to that. Did you feel any glory on that one little arm wave? Do you feel the glory on the arm wave? Do you feel it? Well, then it's Jesus. But the point is, I'm not called to do that. But someone like Demaya getting up here and dance, he started crying and snotting because it's something she was born to do. Right? So just because the tribe of Judah could do it didn't mean they were assigned to it. But my God, there's something about watching the people of God doing what they're assigned to do. It's almost like it's almost like it's poetry in motion. You know what I mean? Like, I have a friend who drums, and when I watch him, he's like, poetry in motion. You could tell he came here for New Year's Blast. When he's playing, it's like he's out of his body or something like that. And he's just going and going and going and going and going. Poetry in motion. You could tell that God planted a seed on the inside of him to drum and worship on the high-sounding cymbals and on the snare and on the toms. Yeah? So he had the Levites. He called the Levite leaders to him. And he said, okay, this is what you're going to do. You're going to consecrate yourselves, you and all your brethren, everybody consecrate, and you're going to divvy up the assignment. So that was leadership right there. He was at the top. He gave them some instruction. The Levite leaders were like, cool. One of them who was really skilled at singing was like, okay, I'm going to get together the singers. Let's go. Okay, I'm going to get together the high-sounding cymbals. I'm going to get the harp, X, Y, Z. And they consecrated themselves together, and they made themselves ready to carry in the ark, all right? Now, Levi means harmony. And the revelation about this is that we're not going anywhere if we aren't all together and on one accord. It was good enough that there was praise. It was good enough that there was a shout unto God, and they were praising with all of their might. But there was no harmony. There was no harmony. There was no connection. First, David wasn't in alignment with God because he didn't ask him. And then two, there was a lack of harmony with the people. And so God brought harmony, and both harmony and praise needs to come together to usher in the presence of God. I hope you're still with me. All right. And so I can say how awesome God is. I can say he's wonderful and mighty, but if I'm not connected and communing with the Spirit, it's not that it's going to fall on deaf ears, but there's a connection that happens when I'm commune to him, where I can sing one note and the glory of the Lord sweep through this place and breaks down all the strongholds and generational curses. You know what I'm saying? There's power in connection. Amen? And so before they had reduced God to a box, but this time, they made a joyful noise, and they sacrificed to the Lord. They didn't forget who was in control, and they understood that he was beyond that box. And so every six steps that the men took, because there were Levites carrying the Ark of the Covenant. Now, it wasn't on some man-made cart. There were Levites carrying the Ark, and every six steps they took, there was an offering made. Every six steps. And you know, they walked everywhere, so that was really, really far, but that was a lot of offerings made. The point is that they never lost sight of who they were doing it for and why they were doing it. Amen? And I'm still talking about ushering in the King of Glory. So we're taking his word to the world, and his word includes his presence, because a lot of people have tried to take his rhetoric to the world, his actual literal written word, and people just ended up offended. But his presence needs to ride in on the word that we're taking into the world, right? So there are three things that we should not do in regards to the presence of God. Amen? The presence of God cannot be contained, controlled, or constricted. It cannot be contained, controlled, or constricted. So when we think of a container, we think of something that has boundaries. And we think of something like, let's say there's a water bottle over there, and it has some boundaries where the water cannot go past the wall of the water bottle, right? And so in the same manner, God cannot be contained. He flows and is much bigger than the box that we say you can run in. You know, it's like free range chicken. You know how they have that? And there's only so much space, right? And they can't, even the free range chicken, there's a place they can't run up off of the field or anything like that. No, there's a place where there's a boundary. And as children of God, we do not put boundaries on what the Lord can do in us, in and of himself, through us, and in and of anyone else. So a lot of times people say, oh, God wouldn't do that, or oh, this is the box that I have for him. So anything outside of my little program that I have, anything that's not on the bulletin, if something happens, we got to take that. No. Nothing can happen out of that purview. But God is an unlimited God. He is a limitless God. And so we do good to know that he is the God of the universe. And we have nothing to answer. We can't say anything to him. You know, we can't check him in any way, shape, or form. That would not be wise. So his presence cannot be contained, right? His presence cannot be controlled. So these words are pretty interconnected, but controlling is to dictate to someone what they should and should not do. And so a lot of times people have a script in their mind as to what God would say and how he would say it. And if he says anything outside of the script, they try to rein it on back and think that they're controlling God, but really they're controlling air. And so they have a script and they say, okay, God, I paid my tithes today, so I should get $100 million. What? I did this today, Lord. I did everything I was supposed to do, so now you owe me. Or, Lord, if you do this, then I'll do that. Yes, we don't bargain with him. He is the God of all. He knitted you in your mother's womb and knew you before that. And so we can't. He's not a God we can control. We can't control him any more than we can control the wind. We aren't to control the presence of the Lord. And last but not least, the presence of the Lord is not to be constricted. And so constricted and contained are similar, but the thing about constriction is that you are the boundary. With a container, you can create a boundary like a bowl. With a constrictor, think about a boa constrictor, that snake, and it's squeezing the life out of whatever it has. It's squeezing it so that whatever it has in its grip cannot move, cannot bend, cannot do anything. We don't bind our God. And of course, a lot of people are saying, no, never, 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 never. But, you know, it could be times when you're in the grocery store or something like that, and the Spirit of the Lord is welling up. He's welling up within you, and you just want to cry or something like that because he's just been so good, and you stuff it back down because what will people think of me? Fear is a mechanism we use often to constrict the presence of God and what he does. So we push it back down, push it back down. And there could have been a person in that same store that needed to see your breakthrough, but no, you're constricting, you're holding it tight so that he cannot move in the way that he wants to. Or a lot of times people have, again, programs, because people constrict the presence of God with their programs and their programmatic ways. And they say, okay, God, we can only have this amount of time for shouting or this amount of time for praise and worship. Oh, if there's a shout, it can only last 1 minute. Now, it's good to have order, but if the Holy Spirit wants to move up in this place and have everybody shouting, screaming, and running like this all over the floor, and me all over the stage, and falling out and crying on the wall, let him do that. You don't know what kind of breakthrough will come to you and or your friend or your brother or sister. There was one time where I had a it was a deliverance that the Lord took me through. And I was snotting and crying, and there wasn't no time to be pretty. There wasn't no time to say, okay, pull in. Thankfully, I was with only one other person, but there wasn't no time to say, oh, let me not snot so much, or let me not cry or cough so much. That would have inhibited what God was doing on the inside of me. That would have constricted him. Oh, but he roams free. Amen? So once again, the presence of God cannot be contained, controlled, or constricted. And we're still talking about ushering in the King of Glory. Amen? Lift up your heads, you gates. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Be you lifted up, you everlasting doors. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand, and in due season you will be exalted. And the King of Glory shall come in. He inhabits the praises of his people. See, who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord mighty in battle, with our eyes on him. With our eyes on him. He lifts us up. Huh? He lifts us up. And then the people are able to see the God within us. So, you know, you know, it creates a portal for his glory to fall upon the earth, to move upon the earth. If only we'd fix our eyes on him. If only we would fix our eyes on him. If only we would consult him in our daily living, in our daily lives. If only the mighty and matchless things, the wonderful things he'd be able to do through us, an obedient and a submitted people. And so we want to talk about, again, he can't be contained. He can't be controlled, nor can he be constricted. But you know what we can do with the presence of God? We can commune with the presence of God. We can commune with the presence of God. He can speak to us. We can allow ourselves time out of our busy day. Allow ourselves time out of our busy week to just commune with the Spirit of God. God, whatever you want to do, you do it, Lord God. Whatever you want to say to me, I am open. He is worthy of our undivided attention. He is worthy of our undivided attention. It's okay to put your phone down. It's okay to put the iPad down. It's okay to put those computers down. It's all right so that he may speak to you. There was one time I was on a date with Jesus, and I was on my phone, and he was like, so this is how you act on a date? And I like checked my whole life. Checked me. And I was like, Lord Jesus, I repented. But that's the thing. We claim that we're with him. We claim that we're spending time with him. And sometimes our mind is on the other side of town. So we can commune with him. It's okay. And I want to say that the presence of God was never meant to be brought in on a man-made contraption, but on the backs of his sons and his daughters. The presence of God was never to be limited to a building. The presence of God was never to be limited to an instrument, to a podium, to a pulpit. But we, the sons and daughters of God, are led by the Spirit, and we carry his presence through the earth. He told the disciples to go and make disciples of all nations. They couldn't do that with a man-made contraption. He didn't tell a man-made contraption to go. He told the disciples to go. And so, you know, he is the I am that I am. When Moses went up to God and he was like, you know, who should I say sent me? He said, tell him I am sent you. And a lot of times people like to, and you said this earlier, people like to have a, you know, base God on what he did. So there's the God of the rain and the God of the sun and the God of fertility and the God of all these things. He was like, oh, you're not going to pigeonhole me. I am. Tell him I am sent you. And so in the same way, we aren't going to pigeonhole him, but we're going to work in harmony with him. We're going to work in harmony with him. Praise is wonderful, but we aren't going anywhere if we're not on one accord. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell onto the disciples when they were on one accord. A rushing and mighty wind happened when they were on one accord, and tongues of fire fell. But it wasn't just that they were giving praise. It wasn't just that they were saying thank you. It was that in heart and mind and spirit, they were connected, and they were connected to what God was doing. So, you know, the question bears repeating. There are three questions that remain. What are we lifting up our heads and looking at? Who is lifting us up? And where and who is the King of Glory? What is my focus on? What am I looking at? What am I captivated by? And then am I lifting myself up? Am I puffing myself up? Am I trying to make myself in a position, put myself in a position? And then really, really, who is this God that we're serving? I mean, because we all our lives we will only have a fraction, understand a fraction of who he is. And we think we know, we have no idea. But the good news is, family, that on Calvary, at Calvary, the veil ripped. The veil ripped. And the Spirit left that building. And at the opportune time, it came into every believer. Huh? So the ark is no longer a box that holds the presence. The ark of the covenant is you, because God is on the inside of you. We are the bearers of the presence, and understand that he's much, much more than us, these little bodies that we have going on. But we are the bearers of the presence of God. We are the bearers. So who is trying to control us? Who are we letting control us? Really, he has called us to be the ark. He has called us to be the ones that go into places, and everyone in the place is blessed. He has called us to be his witnesses. And so if we are not his witnesses, if we're not showing, if the King of Glory is not coming in and riding and flowing through us, we need to do a heart check. What comes into the atmosphere when you come in? I heard a quote that says, some people are happy, some people bring joy wherever they go, and then other people bring joy whenever they go. Some people bring joy wherever they go, and some people bring joy whenever they go. Like, oh, thank you, Jesus, they're gone. Which person are you? Which person are you? Are people ready to feel joyful and exhale when you leave? Lift up your heads, oh ye gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord, mighty in battle.